Next speakers, we have our Jim and James from Hot or Not. They're going to be talking about user interface design, which I may say so, I think is one of the more important factors that seems to be overlooked in most of the applications being talked about in the new technology space and most of the technology that's being churned out from commercial entities as well. So please pay attention to this one. Thank you.
So I guess I'll just talk while Jim's setting up. So my name is Jim. My name is James. And the story behind Hot or Not. The story behind Hot or Not. Does anyone here not know Hot or Not? Everyone, okay. So it's basically a website where people submit their pictures for other people to rate them from 1 to 10 on how hot they are. And it was basically an idea that we had about 2.5 years ago. We're roommates, and we were just hanging out one day and talking about web services, because I also run a website called XMethods, which is about SOAP-based web services. And we're just trying to come up with, like, you know, what would be a really cool web service. And I had the idea of a web service that would just pop up random pictures of people on your screen. Like, so if you're sitting in a cube, it would be like your window to the world, and you could watch people randomly walk by. And so we thought that was a good idea, and then we just kind of like added this, well, you could talk about how hot they were, and then we're like, well, hey, this is a website, not a web service. So Jim basically disappeared in his room for a couple of days and built the site, and then we launched it like a week later.
Yeah.
And we just sent it to like 40 friends, and all our friends spread it around, and like the day after we launched it was in salon.com, and then within 2 weeks we were in like every major European paper in the New York Times, and within 2 months it was kind of odd, we ended up in like People magazine and all sorts of weird stuff. So it just kind of happened very quickly. And one of the things that we thought was really important about why one of the reasons that we thought the site took off so much or so quickly was because of the user interface and how we designed it. And so I guess we're going to talk about that now. Jim's going to take over here. The site went live in October of 2000. So it was like October 3rd we had the idea, and it launched on October 9th.
Right. So. Okay. So anyway, so we're here to talk about the user interface design. It'll be a pretty non-technical talk. So first of all, why should you care about user interfaces? Basically, the user interface is your system. If you have a really great backend, all this fancy stuff and, you know, underlying it, but your UI is not usable, then no one's ever going to see it. So it's basically kind of the first point of failure between you and the user. So you really want to have a good interface. I mean, a good one isn't going to make a bad product good, but it can really ruin a good system. So anyway, so a lot of people think that good interfaces are sort of like fancy graphics, you know, really designery and neat. If you look at Hot or Not, it's pretty simple, but we think it's a good UI, and it's a good UI because people use it, and people stay on the site for like half an hour, an hour, right? And that's pretty rare. Looking at good interface, these are the properties. It's really easy to learn. If you're someone that has never seen the product before, you can sort of look at it, you don't have to read the instruction manual, and you can figure out how to use it by yourself. Okay? But on the other hand, if you come back and you've used the system before, it's also easy for you to use, even though the stuff that's there to help the beginners doesn't get in the way for experienced users, right? So you don't have like this paperclip popping up every 2 seconds telling you what to do. Okay? And how to tell if you have a good UI? Well, your usage increases. I mean, you have more people using the site, you know, sort of things, people are happy. People stick around longer, so you're not going to have people just come, visit once, go away, and never come back. And if you're the person answering emails, which is James, you get less complaints, less, you know, sort of, you know, what's wrong, your system sucks. You know, sort of, your life is easier. Okay, so, the format of this talk is basically we're just going to do a lot of show and tell. Before I start, just, these are kind of the basic principles that we keep in mind when we're looking at interfaces. And as we go through a talk, we'll just basically, you know, sort of show examples of what we've done and sort of, there's just sort of, you know, case studies of how these principles are in action.
Should we show them the site for the people who have never seen it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's do the demo first. Okay. Okay, so this is the site. Okay, for those of you who've never seen it. Okay, so when you first come to the site, what's the first thing you see? It's basically, you know, you have a big thing that says how it works. So one, look at the picture. So see this girl smoking here. Okay, in the yellow box, there's only one yellow box. Click the rate person. So 1 to 10. So 1 is not, and 10 is high. Okay, and so since she's helping us with the demo, she'll be a 10. Okay, and then on the left, you sort of see, well, I guess other people didn't think she was that hot. So she was a 6.4. 259 other people had looked at her picture and voted. You just voted 10. And she just logged in and looked at her score 6 hours ago. Okay. And conveniently, there's another picture here, which, you know, I feel compelled to rate. So I'll give her a 10 as well. And anyway, you get the idea.
The addiction begins.
Right. Yeah. So
it's kind of, that the whole, like, the fact that we show you another picture right away, it's kind of like it's hard once you see it to not give your opinion and vote, and then you wait for the next page, and then, you know, there's another one. It's kind of like, someone put it to me as like, it's like potato chips, because you can't just have one.
Okay.
So
anyway, it looks like the network's a little bit slow right now, so let's go back to the presentation. So anyway, as I said, you know, you want to make it easy for beginners. You want to make the common task easy, which in our case is just voting. And you want to provide a learning curve, meaning you kind of hold their hands from beginning to an expert user, and you'll see actually the site does get sort of involved as you use our matchmaking features and stuff. Another thing to keep in mind along with is you don't want to really confuse, annoy, or coerce the users. You don't want to do things that really insults them or offends them, because they're just going to, you know, go away. And finally, one thing that's really overlooked in interface design, especially on the net, is that the faster your site is, the better. You can have fancy graphics, but if that slows down the time it takes to look at the page, people will just leave. Okay, so here's a screenshot of the site, and let's just go through let's deconstruct it. Okay, so the first thing you'll see is the top is for beginners, right? If you've come to the site, you've never seen it, it's pretty easy, you know, you have the instructions at the very top. Okay? Second thing, right below it, right, is the voting bar. Okay, one cool thing about the voting bar is, we haven't patented this, but it's a one-click vote.
We're talking to Amazon now about that.
Right. So when we first started, I think the prototype before we launched was you select, you know, 1 through 10, and then there's a button that said vote or something. And I think James was showing it to his dad and kind of realized that, you know, this is really slow to click this vote button every time because, you know, it was sort of redundant. So we just JavaScripted the form so that you click on the, when you select the button, it just voted automatically. Okay. And if you think about it, I mean, you've just cut the user's effort in half. I mean, it went from 2 clicks to 1. So that's, you know, it's a 50% reduction in the effort.
More productive with more of the mouse too.
Right, right. Okay. Okay, the next thing is, if you go down, there's a thing that says, are you hot or not? Okay. And if you're, you know, if you're ballsy enough, you know, do you want to put your picture up for rating? Okay. And
has anyone here put their picture on the site? Just curious.
Okay. Right. Okay. And right below that is the login for new users. Okay, and the important thing to note here is that the are you hot or not, submit your picture, is above the login for new users, right? Because more than likely, people coming to the site have not already signed up and, you know, don't have a username password. Okay, so, I mean, these things are important. Okay? And once you click, you go to the next page. Okay? And on the next page,
one thing that I don't think you point out here is that the instructions are now gone.
Right, right. So the instructions are gone because assuming that you read it the first time and you voted, you're able to use the site successfully. So it looks the same and you don't need instructions again. Okay, and as far as usage of real estate, the top left corner, since, you know, we're used to reading books, you know, starting at the top left corner of the page, that's really the first place that people look, right, even on a computer screen. So that's sort of the prime real estate. Whenever we have announcements that are important, we have this area which we call the billboard. And since actually for the last year or so, it's just been pictures of James and I. Okay. And the next important thing is the score. Okay. And this score is really important because that's why the person voted in the first place. They want to see how this person did, how their score compared to how other people voted. And it's really the motivation. That's the hook for voting.
It's actually pretty amazing because when we first launched the site, we were running it on one Celeron machine that I got for free when I opened the E-Trade account. And it was like, we got so much traffic on the first day that, the average page view from when you voted to getting the next page view and getting the score was like 30 seconds. But what we realized is that people were actually waiting and they weren't abandoning. This feedback is very compelling, I think. So.
Okay, and then the last element are kind of these random paid text ads, and then our newsletter sign up, and those are there just because we don't want them on the first page because it's sort of confusing. I mean, you haven't seen the site before, you don't know whether you like the site or not. So why should you sign up for our newsletter? There's no point in doing that. So, but once you're in the site, maybe you're kind of bored of rating pictures, you might want to sign up for a newsletter or visit one of our sponsors. Okay. And, earlier I made a point about speed, and so let's see if this thing finished. Okay, so picture never loaded. So the thing about speed is, if you look at the screen here, I mean, this is what someone's gonna see, and let's imagine that, there's fancy graphics, or maybe the picture is really big and you're waiting for it to load. One thing they have to realize is at any time during, while the users are sort of sitting there, they can click this, okay? And if they click this, you've just lost, okay? They're gone. So you really want to make your site as fast as possible without sort of compromising the functionality. Okay, so the site, as you see it today, it wasn't like that from day one. I mean, it's been slowly evolving for the past 2 years, and we've kind of developed a methodology for, making changes and how to, sort of figure out what the right thing to do is. And the main thing is we make changes very, very often. And I think this is sort of specific to websites, but you really should take advantage of the medium. The thing about the web that's different from, say, selling shrink-wrap software is that you can make changes really, really easily, really cheaply.
But with auto-updates of software now, that can apply to applications too.
Right, these days. But the point is, you don't have to get users to kind of, upgrade their software, and you can sort of undo things without anyone really noticing. Right, you can take back your mistakes. And another thing is, since the user is always, talking to your server, you can collect data. Right, it's really easy to figure out what your users are doing. Just sort of log their clicks, and it doesn't have to be really intrusive. Just sort of figure out what links are being visited, which ones aren't, and it's really trivial to do, and the data is very valuable for helping improve your product. So, okay, and then what you do with that is basically you look at the data. I'll show you an example on the next slide of what might be happening on with the page. You can sort of hypothesize about the problems, but then you look at the data to see if, your theory is right or not. Another thing that we do a lot is we get people that we know who aren't necessarily expert users, who aren't necessarily us, to, use the site. Basically, you want a fresh pair of fresh eyes because, we're looking at the site every day. We know how things are supposed to work. Where someone who's coming in who's never seen it, they're not sure what is right, what's wrong. They'll make mistakes that you never intended, and you can sort of figure out where they get stuck. So one thing sort of interesting is let them drive the mouse, figure out what the cursors are, where they point the cursor. I mean, if they're mousing over this area and they're kind of confused, that might be a problem. If they're staring at one particular part of the screen, you'll know that maybe, it's like a bright color, there's something flashing there. You'll know that what's going on there. And sometimes the text, can be kind of, confusing. I mean, you just sort of write random stuff and it makes perfect sense to you because you wrote it, but to someone else, maybe there's two or three different meanings and they're not quite sure what they're supposed to do. So, kind of just, maybe walk them through the page and, have them ask questions about the site to see if there's anything that they're not quite sure about. And then finally, always have some ways of, getting email back to you. Email back, people, some people will complain and, say, hey, something's wrong here. And, a lot of them will have pretty good suggestions for how you can fix it. So reading the email and answering emails is a very good way of, improving your site as well. Okay. So, here's an example of, this is the page that you get when you click on, the are you hot or not? Okay. This is the form for submitting your own picture. Okay. And on this page, what we do is, every time that the page is served up, we log it, so we increment the counter. Whenever someone clicks I agree at the bottom, we increment the counter. When someone clicks cancel, we log that. And then we also log when they click agree whether the form submission was a good one or a bad one, meaning if they filled all the forms correctly and, entered the same password twice and all that. So ideally, the number of times that you show this page should be the same as people click I agree and it works, right? And if you find that people are either canceling or, worst of all, if the numbers don't really add up, it means they're clicking the X in the corner and they're just leaving the site. And also, if the number of I agrees that result in sort of bad forms, meaning that the user count isn't successfully created, that means there's a problem in your form. Like there's a field that they don't quite know how to figure out how to fill, or maybe the pictures aren't uploading right or something. But anyway, the point is that we collect lots of this data to figure out how the site's working. Okay, and we'll tweak things, see how these numbers change, and if it doesn't improve, then had no effect. If it made it worse, then we undo the changes.
I guess the point of that is just basically that you can take a scientific approach to user interface by testing it and taking a lot of data and then analyzing it and seeing where users are running into problems. And it seems obvious that you would do that, but it really is kind of a science, and you have to be diligent about it, I guess is the point.
Yeah.
Okay, so say you find something that's wrong with the site. What can you really do to fix it? Sort of the parameters that you have to tweak are, placement, meaning you put, what do you put on top? Do you put this on top or do you put the other thing on top? Because, if it's on top, people more likely see it. The size, meaning mostly size of text, font sizes should not, things that you want people to reach should be bigger. If it's too small, people aren't going to read it, so it might as well not be on the page anyway. Color is important. If you can want to color code things. So if you look at our site, you'll notice that things that we kind of want people to click on have a yellow background. And, links are always blue, so that you can click on it without mousing over it. The text, as I said before, can be confusing, so we spend a lot of time wordsmithing things. Speed is just, basically just making the site faster. Make sure you do the right things in terms of, image caching and stuff like that. Add redundant paths, that means that, I'll try to explain that later, but what that means is basically sometimes you'll want to provide users with different ways to do the same thing, right? I mean, to some user, the most obvious way to perform a certain task might be to click a certain button. To another user, they might, feel like something else is more natural to them. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having, three different links on the same page that basically do the same thing, right? There's no reason why your website has to be a strict tree hierarchy. Right, there can be loops, there can be, multiple paths. Okay,
And the last one is eliminate useless content. So if you're diligent about tracking what links are being clicked, if the link is not being clicked or no one's obviously using it, might as well not be there. Just kill it because that just closes your page. Okay. So actually, I want all of you to kind of look at this page for 5 seconds. Just kind of, get a feel for this page. Okay, so what's different? Okay, very good. So for those that didn't catch it, here the banner ad is on top of the voting bar. Here the banner ad is on the bottom. Okay, and which is somewhat, So I mean, it doesn't seem like a really huge difference, but the problem was. Okay, this is the way it was originally. And the thing is, when you're doing banner ads, your performance is based on how many people click on these banner ads, right? And when we had the banner up top, it didn't seem like people were, people weren't clicking on them, meaning that we were doing well below sort of industry averages. And, I think our ad network was threatening to kick us out if we didn't maintain some sort of minimum number of clicks.
Well, the thing here is that the user's eyes really go in a triangle from page view to page view as they're voting. It goes from the rating bar to the score, so they vote and then they get the next page view.
Right.
It goes to
you're looking in this loop. Basically, you look at a picture, you vote, you look here, you look at the next picture,
right.
You vote.
Go back to the old one.
So if you're doing that with the original design, you're looking at a picture, you vote, you look at this. Your eyes are going in this loop here, and this thing is out of the circle. So the user never sees the banner at all, right? So just by making this one change, I think the click-through rate might.
Yeah, quadruple.
Quadruple.
I mean, the point is that, you can think about, the user's experience, and even, you can even think about, how are their eyes moving across the screen, and if you want something, to be highlighted, or you want them to notice something, you can throw it into that path. And that's also why the billboard worked, is because sometimes the billboard is not there. The text in the upper left is not there, and so the hot or not score is at the upper left. And so people's eyes get trained to go there, and so that's why that's a prime position as well, because people just kind of it's in the loop.
Right. But, I mean, again, the main thing is, placement is important, and also, the difference is measurable in terms of, in this case, click-through is the banner. Okay, so with hot or not, the site is pretty simple at first. I think most people probably have just interacted with the site just by reading pictures, but you can actually go quite deep into the site. So typically, you start with reading pictures. If you notice, there's a link on the bottom, which I think a lot of you might have found out through the site just by someone emailing or maybe on ICQ or something, a link to hot or not. That's how it gets passed. And then after, maybe you start sending it to your friends, meaning that you've sort of bought into the site and you like the site, you recommend it to your friends. After that, you might trust us enough to give us your email address. And then maybe after that, you think, okay, these are good guys, they're not doing anything evil. You'll post your picture and then, do the Meet Me thing, which is our kind of a dating site that we added to the site afterwards. And with the Meet Me thing, if you find someone that you want to talk to, there's a thing we give you which you can send a note, which is kind of like, I guess it's kind of like a form letter type Mad Lib thing, which you can, send to someone to flirt with them. And if that works out for you, you might actually sign up for a membership, for us. So, the point is, we don't expect you to buy into everything from day one, right? You sort of have to develop this relationship between you and the site. You sort of start trusting it, and sort of develop a friendship, really.
Right. And actually, so that's kind of shown by the fact that when you submit a picture, we don't ask you for your email address.
Right.
We don't ask that for that until you want to join the Meet system. But it's only because we need your email address for the Meet system. To notify you of things. But the point is, we don't ask for information until we actually need it and the user can see why we want it.
Okay.
So, are we going to questions already? Or?
Are we questions already? Or?
Well, no.
Well, let's do one more thing, one more example. So just an example of how little things make a big difference. On the site, there's a thing for the news for signing up for newsletters. Okay, this is right here in the corner here. And okay, so originally it didn't look like that. It was just a text link that said sign up for a free newsletter. And when you click it, you'd have this pop-up box. Okay, and you enter your email address here and hit subscribe. Okay, and that was doing okay. But one weekend I was sort of bored. Weekend I just decided to change it a bit and see what would happen. So I changed it to, sort of big box. More importantly, you have this thing where you can actually type in your email address on the front page, then hit subscribe. And then the thing is, when you hit subscribe, the same pop-up box would come out. Just, your email address would be pre-filled from whatever you entered here. And, but it's weird because if you think about it, the user pretty much is doing the same amount of work. Right. In either case, you click something on the front page, you get a pop-up box, and you click the subscribe button. Okay. But the thing is, for some reason, this is more prominent. You've sort of forced the user to click it to, not force, but you've let the user type in their email address on the front page already, so they've already bought in to the idea of joining your newsletter at the beginning. And, looking at the metrics, the number of subscribers jumped by a factor of, about 10. Just because of that one change. So, it's kind of an interesting example of how these little UI things can really make a huge difference in how people use it. And, finally, let's talk about this. Okay, so, on the direct link thing, it says you can share this with a friend. I guess we're kind of proud of this. You can share this with a friend. It took a long time for us to get that right. We're not forcing you to email a friend. There's no link that says send this to a friend, which a lot of sites do, where you have the send a friend button. You get some pop-up thing where, says enter your friend's email address, and you don't know what they're going to be doing with that email address. They sort of write some form letter for you, which you wouldn't write yourself. And this sort of something that, I personally find pretty annoying. And, instead we have this, you can share this with a friend, so you don't have to, but you can if you want. And, you don't have to give us your email address because we assume you're smart enough to cut and paste to your, IM client or your email or, however you want to, write in the letter to your friend and send, through postal mail. So.
I guess the main point is that, has everyone seen, those websites that have, send this to your friend and you click on it and then it asks for email addresses and, like Jim says, it has, a pre-formatted message saying, oh, this is great, blah, blah, blah. We just kind of felt like that was, I never do it. I never do those things because I'm always like, well, you're asking me to give you my friend's email address so you can probably spam them, And so this just felt like a much less evil way to do things in that people would respond to it a little bit better. And
I think another thing is, when we first started, I think we did it with the intent that it would be sort of, we were thinking about those email things, right? But as it turned out, because we did it this way, people were passing it through IM, through message boards, through other ways that we had never intended in the beginning.
Right.
So I think we're out of time, so we should just open up for questions.
Hi. I want to share with you my experience with Hot or Not. First picked it up probably November 2001, had some friends over at my place. They showed me the website. They started drinking wine. Spent about an hour and a half just going through pictures. Just immediately crack. It was just awesome. Next weekend, come over on Friday, crank through for a couple hours, just, raiding everybody, having a great time. One of the things I noticed was the flesh content was directly related to people's scores. I thought that was, a really interesting, right? The bikini in front of the Corvette pictures were just way up there, even if, the person was, unattractive at all. But, so this is, this is really interesting. I just really started enjoying humiliating, other individuals. It was, really, really sadistic side comes out from you from a distance, right? So, 7 weeks later, I go away on a vacation to the Fiji Islands for 5 weeks. And I'm sitting in my ISP that I've been going to frequently, and I go and I mail all these pictures. I go and get all these pictures scanned at a local Photoshop, and I get these pictures of me scanned, and I'm getting ready to email like 25, 30 of my friends and colleagues at work. And all of a sudden, the person who runs the ISP or the internet cafe comes over and says, "Oh, you know, I'm sorry, we have to do some service on this machine. Could you just use the other machine for a second? And we're just gonna fix something. Don't worry about it." So I'm like, "Okay, sure, no problem, right? Sure." I've got my pictures in the hot or naughty or in the Hotmail account. I come back 5 minutes later, no problems. I send out this email. That's fine. Fly back. I haven't seen my girlfriend for 5 weeks. Arrive in San Francisco Airport, 3 a.m. in the morning. And she's first thing she says to me is, "I can't believe you posted your pictures on Hot or Not. What were you thinking?" Right? I was so enraged for like the next 4 hours, I could barely speak to her. Right? I just was absolutely infuriated. Went to the office the next day, embarrassed. My email inbox in corporate was basically emails from all my colleagues at IBM and family members with these really sarcastic notes. My second line manager said that as a woman and my senior, as my second line manager, she didn't feel it was appropriate that she could rate me. She could rate on Hot or Not. Then what started to happen was I started to get this internal network within IBM of all these guys who had heard that I had got posted on Hot or Not, who wanted to know how I did because they had all gotten like really low two scores. And so all these men started coming out of the woodwork confessing that they'd done Hot or Not, which, you know, further enraged me because I didn't want to be classified with people who actually posted their pictures there. And so I haven't been back to the site since. So one feature you might want to consider adding is the emergency eject this picture from Hot or Not. I don't want to embarrass myself any further.
If I could, hello? Okay. Good story. Actually, one, speaking to the correlation between flesh and score, it is Hot or Not, not classically beautiful or not. So you have to allow for that kind of thing. And in terms of other people submitting other people's pictures, it is known to happen from time to time. Actually, it happens less than you would think as a percentage of the pictures that go on the site, like less than 1%. But the one thing that you should know is that we also, one of the things in building a community on our site is that we wanted people to feel like their votes counted for something. So one thing that we don't really make a big deal out of is the fact that if a user account is created and a picture is submitted, we'll show that picture for maybe like a set number of votes, like 150 votes or something like that. But if they don't log back in to check the score, and if the user is not active, then that picture is tossed and we stop showing it. Right, so it's no longer active. Because what we're trying to do is make sure that all the content on the site is fresh and that it's relevant. Right, and that's why when you look at, after you vote and it says when that person last logged in, it's usually very low, like within the last day or so. It's because everyone that doesn't check it, you know, like what's the point, right? So, good story.
I think we can make some interesting social commentary on the what affects ratings. Based on skin exposure too, but that's not really the topic of this talk.
Hi, this is a question kind of from the Info Anarchy channel on IRCfreenet.net. It's kind of a joint question. There's a number of people on there, I've been following them on the laptop, who said that they find the banner movement really, really irritating because they click through accidentally loads of times when they don't want to. So do you see any inherent contradiction between the bullet point you had up earlier which said, do not coerce, abuse, annoy the user, and the irritation of the banner moving around?
Well, I mean, I think it's a trade-off, right, with advertising. We try not to, you know, annoy the user, coerce the user, meaning that we don't want to trick them, right? But, I mean, with advertising, it's kind of like inherently, if advertising, you don't see it, and it's sort of not in your face, you're not going to notice it, so.
So it's like only abuse or annoy them to the extent that your advertising gets you the revenue to support
the
site.
How are they accidentally clicking on it, though? Because, I mean, like, if your arrow is up,
I think people say, like, they click on the rating bar, and then they leave the mouse in the same position, and the next screen comes up, and potentially that the banner thing has switched occasions. The banner position has switched.
No. We don't rotate the two. If you can go to back.
It depends on the size
of the image,
right?
The banner started off in the beginning of the site on top, and then we moved it to the middle. It's always in the middle. We're not moving it. We're not like swapping it back and forth on different page views. That was in the beginning. We had it at the top, and then later we moved it to the middle. But I mean, if you leave your mouse on the voting thing, you're never going to hit the banner.
I've discovered if you have very large images, sometimes it moves, but that's
right. But
it's still in the same layout. But if you haven't moved your mouse at all, you might hit it. But that seems like that's not really that big of an issue.
You mean if you just leave it here, you're saying that the thing will?
I think it happens more on the Meet Me section.
Let me talk about experience user. Okay. Well, maybe we can hear. Whoever was just making that comment, we can get that feedback.
Sure.
Because, I mean, we do like to hear that kind of stuff. Because, like I said, we're living in our living room in a hole. And, you know, we know our site really well, but we don't see, you know, we like to hear that kind of stuff. So, thanks.
Do you want to talk about the algorithm for computing aggregate ratings from individual ratings?
Can you repeat the question?
Do you want to talk about computing the algorithm, aggregate algorithm for it?
Do you want to talk about the algorithm for computing the aggregate ratings from the individual ratings?
Oh, it's just normalized. So what we do is, actually, if you look at the scores, the 6.9 is not the mean, it's not the average. So all we do is we calculate the mean. It's just curved. So 6.9 just means it's a 69 percentile. We have 69th percentile overall. So, which is why, a lot of times you'll click 10 or something, and, the score that's, resulting is different. Well,
yeah, there's a reason that we actually do normalization. In the very beginning of the site, it was just the raw mean. But what we found was that there were a lot of people out there who just like to click 1 all day. Or 5 all day or 10 all day. In reality, they're either being mean or they just don't want to vote and they just want to see the next picture. And what happened was, that really significantly lowered the scores on the site to like where the highest score we ever saw was a 5. For the hottest person, right? And, so what we did was we basically said, well, that's not right. These people are bringing down the mean. And then there's a feedback loop because other people would see that score, which was artificially low, and then start training themselves to that kind of scoring system where, like, even if it was 1 to 10, no one ever voted outside of 1 to 5 in the beginning. And so what we did was I basically took about 100,000 data points of people and figured out, if 3.3 was the average, then that should become a 5. And so, like, I plotted them into a Gaussian distribution and then basically did a mapping and to try and eliminate the idiosyncrasies of any individual voter.
Oh. And I mean, we also, try to detect the people who are just voting 1 or 10 constantly, and we have ways of figuring that out and throwing those votes out as well.
So I had two quick questions. One is, are you making a decent living at this, but more importantly, has it gotten you any hot dates?
I think James should answer this one.
So I'll address the first one first, and hopefully we'll forget the second one by the time I finish. So the thing about Hot or Not is we are making a living now doing it, first of all. But I don't feel bad in saying that because I think we've done it in as minimal of an evil way as possible, right? The whole site was a joke when we started it. We never intended it to be a business. And then when it got really big, we were basically borrowing bandwidth and server resources from a friend on the first day. And when that Salon.com article came out, we're like, oh my god, it's going to cost like $10,000 a month just for bandwidth or something. And so that's when we had to add the banner. And the banner, in the beginning, made enough money to cover the server and bandwidth costs. But then online advertising just kind of tanked. And when it tanked, we had the decision of shutting the site down or figuring out some way to charge users for something. And that's when we added, we added the Meet Me part before we started charging. And then when the advertising wasn't cutting enough to cover the bills, we said, what can we charge for? And then that was the obvious one. I don't know if I'm really answering the question of, what was the question? Oh, are we making a living off it? We are today. But we only charged $6 a month, and in the beginning, we charged an amount that we felt would keep the site alive. So for us, it was always, what can we do to keep the site alive, because this is probably the coolest thing that we'll ever do in our lives, and we want it to live forever, so, you know.
Another thing is this, the stuff that was always free from the beginning is still free, right? I mean, we've never taken free stuff and started charging for it.
But the bottom line is that, I think because of the way we did things in a way that was hopefully not offensive to people, the site continued to grow. The site continued to grow to where today it does make a profit, and then we're able to like live off of it and keep it going.
And then there's the second part of that question.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a date in the room, so I won't answer that.
Okay, I have two questions. One is feedback on your algorithm. If I put my picture up there and then write a script that clicks 100,000 times one, I will get a very high score. Is that correct?
Well, we have methods for preventing people from doing that.
Oh, how unfortunate for me. The second question is, have you guys any financing?
Financing?
Have you had any
investors
interested in you?
Well, I think James's brother helped us in the beginning, just to help us set up. I think after we moved off the free servers, we got some machines at Rackspace. So I think we had to put up some money to get the machines there.
We had to put a deposit down. But we never actually used that machine. So I mean, essentially, no, we never took any financing.
Are you interested in financing?
No, not really. Yeah, it's actually kind of funny because I guess with the matchmaking thing now, especially, like we've started to get emails from venture capitalists and stuff like that, like, oh, you know, are you guys looking for funding? And apparently they're all looking at the dating space now again. But we just ignore them. So.
When somebody complains about a picture, do you have the users handle that, or do you have to handle that yourself?
Well, James handles all the customer emails, so.
There's two levels to that. I mean, show the moderator. So every picture on the site is actually checked before it gets on site. Like, so after you submit a picture, it has to get verified to make sure that it's fun, clean, and real, which is kind of like our brand, whatever. Is the connection down?
Refresh.
Oh. But basically, when you submit a picture, we have a couple thousand volunteers who help moderate the site, and they look at the content here. So we built a similar interface here. It says, please decide whether this picture should be allowed, and then reject or accept. And then they have the profile here in the description. And so basically, why don't you vote? Why don't you vote?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Hello.
Oh, yeah. So she says she's 15, so she'll be rejected. And as you can see, like down here, oh no, someone has to watch that. Someone actually accepted it. Basically it's a collective vote. Like, so 10 moderators might have to vote one way or the other before a decision is made. And then we keep track of everyone's score, track of everyone, or accuracy. So like they have accuracy, it's a kind of a game. And then like if your accuracy gets too low, then you get kicked out. And then it's kind of like, Jim and I were really big into BBSs back in the day, like I started like 300 baud modem, Novation AppleCat, if anyone knows. Anyway, and so we have like security levels for the moderators, like, and as their security levels go up, their votes count more, and they have different functions and stuff like that. But then if a picture gets past that, then they email me, and then I'll just take care of it myself. But by then, not that many.
So the moderators get to see all the underage pictures and
all
the dirty pictures?
They see it all, which is also part of the incentive. for being a moderator. One could say it's a stronger incentive than anything else.
Oh, there are several different points. One, I assume, of course, that the image that pops up over to the side is actually the exact same image, just with the size tag set differently.
Yeah.
Yes. Which if it weren't, it would make it slower.
Right.
It's cached. Right, that was my point.
Right.
The other thing is if you're really scared of the close button, I mean, you could always make it so that it...
Like, yeah, but then that goes against the point of don't piss off the users.
Let's see. What was... Oh, well.
I forgot the last one.
Hey, user interface question about the first page that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that people have a tendency to miss the how to use instructions because we're kind of trained to miss everything above what we want to see because we expect it to be an ad?
Actually, the how to use it thing was added later. We didn't have that for a while. I think we added that because occasionally we'd show it to a friend, and even though the yellow box is, seems obvious to me anyway now, they would kind of look at it and not quite be sure what to do with it. And once we added that, I think most people, there were no questions about, about how to use it.
They didn't necessarily see the instructions first.
Yeah.
But as soon as they got confused, their eyes start kind of doing this.
Yeah.
And then if you look at, can you go to the first page view? We'll go to your slides then. You'll notice that it's an inverted text. It's at the top. It's red. Most people find it, and how it works is the biggest part, right? You can see, how it works is pretty big. So most people, they may not see it first, but then when they figure out that they don't know what to do and what it's about, then they kind of look around and find it, and then they read it, and then they...
And the voting block, is it intentionally almost exactly the same as an ad?
Oh, is the ad size and the voting block exactly the same?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
it intentional.
Is,
yeah,
it's yeah, it's
with the same size.
Yeah, and is that intentional? Just to make it line up, really. Mm-hmm. Actually, the pictures that are submitted, if they're too wide, we actually try to resize it so it's narrower than the ad as well, so it doesn't see the voting block.
My question is about the voting block. So it sounds like you've moved, by getting rid of the vote button, you've kind of moved it so that only people with JavaScript running can actually push the buttons at all. How did you make that design decision? What does that get you over just a simple image map? And did you find that people started responding negatively to that, or people started voting less because of people not running JavaScript, not being able to use it?
Open. With respect to JavaScript, the fact is for 80% of people, are on Windows and IE, and they can use JavaScript. And I think if we had an image map, that's an extra image to download, so that would actually make the page slower to load. What was the third part of your question?
We do actually make a lot. I mean, we do make these trade-off decisions of, should we, Opera, compatibility, the guys at Danger were like, hey, we can't run it because JavaScript, right? And it's kind of a painful thing because you kind of want to accommodate everyone, but at the same time you know that you really can't, because if I try to make it work for this guy, then it's going to stop working for that guy and stuff like that. And what? Oh, did you show them that? Oh, yeah. So if you don't have JavaScript and if you don't have a good color display, you can go to ASCII.hotornot.com, which is kind of a joke that we had one day. And this one it's best viewed with links, and it does not require JavaScript. As you can see, because Lynx doesn't support it, it has buttons on top. And can you see our pictures on there?
Right.
So it's the same interface, though. Although, yeah, we can't have column table, so the vote's on top now. So.
Yeah,
that's Jim. Anyway,
After your site was released, it was cloned almost instantly by a number of people. There was one site I saw that had, I thought, an interesting UI improvement over your own, which is your rating is between 1 and 10, which is sort of arbitrary. But what they did is they allowed you to select the person. Like, they displayed two pictures at one time and let you select.
What's better?
Huh?
What's better?
Yeah. Did you get any thought to that? Or?
Oh, yeah. We actually, when we first thought of the site and we were building it, we considered that UI, actually. And, you know, it's almost, and so you would just say, like, you would arbitrarily say, okay, if this person is voted better than that person, then that person gets a 10, that person gets a 1, and then over time, scores converge, right? There are a few problems with that. One is that, like, just the whole hotness, we figured that people understand 1 to 10 very, very well. And, like, it's like, you can't really get caught into, like, oh, what if they're really close to each other? Like, there's kind of a point where you can start stalling if you don't know which one's better and you don't feel good about the vote. The other thing is that on that system, the votes start to converge towards the correct score. But in the beginning, it's either, like, if for your first vote, let's say you weren't picked, now you're a 1, right? Well, right, if someone sees that you're a 1, then there's a feedback loop where now they're, like, the scoring will start getting funny. Like, people won't know how to vote. They won't know what a 1 is. They won't know what a 10 is. They won't know what a 6 is, and so on. So, I mean, we do like the What's Better interface, I think, but we just didn't feel like it was right for what we were doing.
I mean, another concern I have with that interface is that, I think picture quality is pretty important on the site. I mean, if you have the site with, you know, really tiny pictures or really poor quality pictures, it kind of ruins the experience. And with that interface, you need to have two pictures either side by side or on top of each other, and that makes the display pretty tricky to get it right.
I think the funniest part about What's Better, or what makes What's Better really cool, is not even just the voting on people thing, which is what we do, and which is why 1 to 10 makes sense, because that's how the world has always kind of worked with rating people. But I think What's Better was really cool because they started comparing two totally arbitrary things, you know? So it'd be like, what's better, an Oreo cookie or, you know, like the bar at Club NV? I don't know, you know? It's like, so... But for people rating, we just kind of felt like 1 to 10 was established well enough. So we didn't have to train people on that concept.
We have time for two more questions.
Well, I think you started a phenomenon, and I've really enjoyed some of the parody sites, like amiallyourbaseornot.com. And I think I also remember Rate My Kitten.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if you feel that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been great to see all the different sites that come up. I think the one, my favorite was, Am I Bios or Not?
Right.
It was just motherboards. And it's like, you know, had links to a non-tech. And
so you talked about using placement and size and color to improve a website, and I think those are great tips. But then advertisers use those same ideas to make sure I see the ads. And then users like me use those same ideas to avoid looking at the ads. So if it blinks or if it's at the very top of a page, I don't even look at it. So now you've got a feed, and then the advertisers then adapt to my adaptation. So now you've got a feedback loop, and I suspect it's not stable. And this to me makes it very hard to make a really good site. What do you think?
I think with respect to advertising, I don't think advertising is that annoying if it's contextual, right? I think if you're on a motherboard site, or say you're on Slashdot, right, and you have ads for hosting on top, I mean, the Slashdot ads don't bother me at all, right? So I would say that, you know, I think if you're doing advertising online, maybe you're just showing the wrong ads. I mean, with respect to what you're saying, is your users train themselves to sort of look at what, you know, they sort of like, oh, I know they want me to look at that, so I'm not going to look at that. I think that with respect, I mean, just sort of human nature, you know, things that blink, things that are bigger, things that are bright orange, you know, you're just physiologically, you just want to look at them. So, I mean, I don't think that, you know, that sort of annoyance that ads can really override your instinct to look at the bright, flashy thing on the screen.
One more question.
I actually remembered the one that I was going to ask before. You actually have enough information to be able to construct an individual scale on a per-person basis.
Well, we have a lot of data. The main thing, I mean, we have, currently we do about 12 to 14 million page views a day, and we have a lot of data. Basically, everyone is, you know, a vote. The thing is sort of, you know, we're not Google, we don't have 10,000 machines at our disposal, so the sort of limited amount of sort of things we could do.
Actually, what I more meant is that you could make the rating more accurate by constructing a scale for each person, you construct the scale for each person and then you normalize after that.
For each person, well, I'm not quite sure what you mean, because I mean, when you're rating someone 1 to 10,
suppose there's somebody who only like rates 3 to 7, and they'd never rated outside 3 or outside 7, you could take their scores and you could normalize them to 1 to 10.
I see what you're saying. But the way we curve it, right, basically, the sort of, you know, people who tend to vote in a very narrow range, that affects all votees equally, right? So when we, when we normalize the scores to, you know, to percentiles, that normalization affects everybody.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You just mentioned Google. They are another company that understands good UI. And it's worth mentioning yet again that I'm happy to get sponsorship from a company that has done things that are less evil and gone with good UI. So have you thought of putting text links up for your ASCII hot or not for advertisement? I noticed there was no advertisement there.
That would be
amusing.
Actually, there's one thing we do. Because actually if you go to our, I don't know if those of you have a net access, if you go to our Meet Me site and do a keyword search, you'll see, hold on, let me do this real quick.
We do text links right now just as a favor to Pud from Fuck Company, because he's trying to start this HTTP ad thing, so, I also put that up there basically because people are always emailing me asking me like if they can advertise on the site and I'm like, and they kind of harass me. So now it's just like, okay, just go buy that and like leave me alone. But
all right, so if you look at the Meet Me thing, people have keywords that they can enter. So, you know, this person likes import cars. So you can, you know, if you click on import cars, it's a connection. Right. So if you notice on the right side here, there's import car stuff at Amazon, okay, and this basically one weekend I was just, you know, Amazon had just released their XML RPC, their SOAP services, and I just wanted to see if I can get it to work. So yeah, it was like about 4 months ago. So basically, anytime you have a keyword, you'll pull up Amazon links, which is these are the things that you would get if you type import cars in Amazon. And you know, I think obviously the Google AdWords would, you know, be very similar.
So if you have to look at advertising, it's hopefully advertising you might be interested in.
Right. I mean, I think advertising that's relevant in context is not offensive at all.
I agree.
Well, I think you know, advertising is always kind of seen as evil. But, I mean, the truth is, if the banner ad networks didn't exist when we started the site wouldn't be here today. We couldn't afford it. I mean, and, you know, it's just an evil reality.
Yep.
So. Okay, thank you.